Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right, like that dude just said. Well, listen, we're going to the phones right now. Congressman Mo Brooks has been representing the state of Alabama in our congressional delegation from Congressional District 5 for several years now, and he is now running statewide, as many of you know, for U.S. Senate for the seat being vacated by Senator Shelby. Apparently there are some other names in it, but really the race is between he and Katie Britt and Mike Durant. That's the race. Well, he got a major endorsement today. Right Side was able to get a first early look at it and released it early this morning. It's been picked up by now by Yellowhammer and some others. Donald Trump Jr. came out, dispelling any myths, I guess. So let me go to the phone right now and just talk to Congressman Mo Brooks. Sir, how you doing today?
Doing great. We've been campaigning down in Shelby County and Jefferson County, working that part of the state today, and then down on to the Wiregrass, Montgomery, Wetumpka later this week.
Well, good deal. I mean, statewide race, 67 counties. You got space to move, don't you?
Sure do. Last night it was Jackson County and Scottsboro. So wherever we need to go, we go.
Well, listen, there were all these rumors out there that the Donald Trump endorsement, which you are the Trump-endorsed candidate in this particular race, that was somehow waning, and that perhaps the Trump camp was losing the love for Mo Brooks, and then bam, this morning that all went to seed when you got a major endorsement from Donald Jr., who claimed that you've been heavily supported by his dad all this time. You want to elaborate on that?
Sure. The Katie Britt campaign, they have some pretty smart campaign tactics. The problem, though, is when you're deceitful, ultimately it comes back to bite you. And back in the fall, they started planting seeds with the news media that President Trump was enamored with Katie Britt. Nothing could have been further from the truth, but nonetheless, they were very good at planting unsubstantiated rumors with the fake news media, and the fake news media just ran with it as if it was true. They never tried to verify those rumors by getting someone on the record. So with Donald Trump Jr. Yesterday and today endorsing us very, very strongly, you've seen the comments that he made. I hope that this helps expose Katie Britt's campaign for having had their hand in the cookie jar.
Well, and so I got to ask you. You say the Katie Britt campaign. Are you sure that's where it came from? I mean, there's other establishment types that are concerned about you. There's the Durant campaign, which is also one of your serious opponents. But you feel certain it was that was the Britt campaign?
Absolutely, it was Katie Britt's campaign. Mike Durant was still in the embryonic stages of his candidacy. He had not yet announced, not yet put an organization together. And this is the modus operandi of Katie Britt and the establishment people that are supporting her. They do it every campaign. They use power politics. They try to pound their opposition into submission either by planting stories with the news media or with their superior weaponry, that being the millions of dollars in campaign contributions from special interest groups that, of course, take advantage of the American people time after time in Washington.
Well, if we can get her to come back on the show, we'll ask her about it. But for right now, I think that
ask her too about the attacks on Mike Durant with the rape and incest allegations or the Trojan horse allegation. Those two were stories planted with the news media by the Katie Britt team.
Well, and so we can definitely ask her about that. Like I said, if I can get her back on the show, that would be a question we could ask.
I remember when she announced that she wasn't going to be for raising taxes. Remember that?
She did. She absolutely, on this show.
Yeah.
That's the only time she's been on. I questioned the gas tax, and she talked about the fact that she wasn't for it. Well, we'll see.
Supported the 10 cent per gallon gasoline tax. She supported a 20% increase in her income tax rates. She supported higher tax collections on property and sales taxes. She supported an increase in the taxes on automobile transfers. She supported an increase in utility taxes. And yet she had the audacity to be on your show extolling that she signed a no tax pledge, directly in conflict with her past conduct and actions. So that's what I'm dealing with.
And that's certainly a campaign speech. I mean, that's the kind of thing that needs to be said right now by any candidate about the other. So let me ask you about some things you're dealing with in D.C. right now, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So a story came out today. I did a monologue on it earlier in the show that members of Congress have written a letter. Andy Biggs was the lead signature on it, but that literally members of Congress are of the belief that under Pelosi's authority, the Capitol Police has been conducting surveillance operations on members of the body, and they're demanding an investigation and that it stop. And what do you know about this? Have you heard this?
I have heard it. I've talked about it with other congressmen. I'm also familiar with the media reports, and I've had access to the letters that Republican congressmen that we collectively have sent to Capitol Police demanding more information than we have in our possession right now. It's still in the early stages of the investigation. We'll have to wait and see what the Capitol Police response is, but we're not at all uncomfortable with the Capitol Police perhaps being used as a spying tool on members of Congress. Hopefully it did not occur. Hopefully it's just misinformation at this point. But if they cross that line, then we've got a major problem.
Well, Congressman Troy Nehls, if I pronounce his name right, N-E-H-L-S, Nehls from Texas, he literally said that apparently during a recess when they didn't think anybody was at his office, that three men apparently dressed as construction workers came into his office unannounced, were surprised to find someone there and caught them taking pictures of documents. It turns out they were Capitol Police disguised as like in some kind of an undercover sting operation as construction workers. He posted that on his social media. So it's really being said. It's not just being like a rumor. It's being said openly this happened.
Well, I want to not jump the gun. I want to get all of the evidence that I can at my disposal before reaching a decision. We have so many rumors and unsubstantiated allegations that occur on a regular basis in the political world. In this particular instance, given the gravity of it, I want to see what the end game is. And I know that if the United States Congress goes to the Republicans in the November 2022 elections, that we will have hearings. The problem right now is that our hands are tied somewhat because the allegation is that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are the ones responsible for directing the Capitol Police to spy on us. Well, they're not about, Nancy Pelosi's not about to allow congressional hearings on that kind of spy activity.
No, I would imagine not, even though, I mean, and I had somebody just text this to me a little while ago, and I'm just going to read it because it's so aptly put. Invading an opposition party office to collect info for surreptitious use to intimidate the opposition or ensure prepared encounters in advance sounds a lot like Watergate. And it does. It does. Well, listen, Congressman, let me shift gears. You have a background, a lot of your... If my recollection, your degree was in economics. Am I correct in saying that?
That's correct. Duke University, highest honors in economics.
Well, so I had a story yesterday here on the show about the supply chain disruptions, part of which are creating massive trouble in industry right now, really related to microchips, which are manufactured largely in Asia, Taiwan predominantly, and on a party line vote, apparently, the Democrats voted to approve something like a $30 billion influx of cash to incentivize the private sector to create microchips here. And I see that as being, you know, another one of those throw money at it situations. What do you know about this thing? And how does that relate to your particular knowledge of economics?
That is the knee-jerk reaction of the Democrats on a regular basis. And the problem with all of this is that someone has to foot the bill. And at the same time, the Democrats are trying to assist favored political allies or industries, they're increasing tax burdens or increasing inflation, one or the other, that all of America has to deal with, including our industries and our businesses, which in turn drives up their cost of doing business, which in turn makes them less competitive, which in turn enables the foreign competition to take greater advantage of American industry and take away more of our jobs. So there's a cascading effect that the Democrats don't seem to be able to follow, and it's doing significant damage to our country. But for the things that the Democrats have done over the last few decades, we probably would have a real strong chip manufacturing industry in the United States of America, as we used to 20 and 30 years ago, but unfortunately not as strong now.
So we've offshored something that it turns out we have to have desperately in almost everything that we do nowadays. And what I did see was that Ford is having to shut down operations in something like 8 of its plants because they don't have access to the chips.
Automotive is
going to get hard. Yeah, extremely hard. Well, Congressman, we appreciate your time. We know you're on the campaign trail. I thought it was a pretty telling thing that you got that Trump endorsement this morning. You know, we'll come May and find out how much an endorsement like that still means, but I think it does mean a lot to the electorate, and I'm glad to put that rumor to rest at the very least. So we appreciate your time today, and good luck out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Yes, sir, you too. All right, folks, Congressman Mo Brooks, who is running for the U.S. Senate to take the seat being vacated by U.S. Senator Richard Shelby. His two major opponents are Mike Durant, also of the Huntsville area, who's been on the show several times and has an amazing resume in his own right. And then Katie Britt, who has been on the show once. We've not been able to get her to come back on since then, but I'll keep trying. The reality is this. Those three candidates, one of them is going to be your next U.S. Senator. You need to know them inside and out. What do they believe? What do they not believe? When you ask them questions, do you get a good response? And what are their niches? I mean, I don't know for a fact. I would say, if I had to guess, that Mike Durant's got a strong niche in business and in military and in foreign policy potentially. Congressman Brooks obviously has a great background in economic policy. Katie Britt was in charge of the Business Council of Alabama, so she's going to have a business/Chamber of Commerce-style background to lean to. Plus, she's also been in D.C. as chief of staff for Richard Shelby, so she understands the ins and outs of workings in D.C. One of those three is going to be your next U.S. senator. Get to know them best you can. All right, Copper, take us to a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Number three on the Triple Dipper. To gerrymander or not to gerrymander? That is the question. I'm going to tell you right now what you've been seeing on Alabama being called out by the courts, which, by the way, went in our favor. We're not alone. You want to call in, by the way, you can. 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. Thanks. We'll be right back.